In this video, I would like to bring to your attention something that I personally could not simply walk past. I've mentioned this before in multiple videos, especially my most recent ones, but I would really like to make sure that more and more people are starting to see, that they're starting to learn and understand in a crystal clear way. Who benefits from refusing to negotiate? Who benefits from eliminating negotiators? And who is behind these ultra-aggressive, war-mongering policies that are being actively promoted and supported on so many government levels? One of the main reasons why we don't hear about ceasefire and peaceful negotiations are not given a chance is that the military-industrial complex is enjoying truly extraordinary profits, absolutely record profits that they're unwilling to give up, of course. After all, you cannot have a $90 billion, with a B, $90 billion military-industrial complex without a war, and then another one brewing in the pipeline. According to the latest financial data, Rheinmetall, the German military manufacturer that is also one of the leading global companies in this industry, it literally doubled its profits. It doubled its profits over the past several years, and I will share the details with you, thanks to selling its weapons to Ukraine and to Israel. Rheinmetall recently reported that its sales actually hit a historic record of 91% operating profit. It is unheard of. Not only that, the German manufacturer boasts a record order book worth nearly 50 billion euros. Of course, they don't really bother to include any information about how that translates into the hundreds of thousands of lost lives. The same exact human lives that helped Rheinmetall transform from an almost petty seller of auto parts to Germany's automakers into a once again military industrial giant. Prior to the war in Ukraine, more than a third of Rheinmetall's sales had been in non-military graded parts for automakers. If we take a look at the company's market cap, it is indeed turning into a cash cow. Just prior to the conflict in Ukraine, as of December 31st of 2021, its market cap stood at $4 billion. Not too impressive. However, not even full 3 years later, it skyrocketed to nearly $27 billion. What this means is that investors are seeing potential in the company, and they probably have the reasons to believe that the company will continue to be a cash cow, so they keep investing in it. That's why it grew from $4 billion to $27 billion in just a couple of years. If we take a look at its gross income growth, it's absolutely shocking as well. It went from a negative 10.4% in 2020 to a shocking 22.3% growth rate in 2023. Certain individuals, such as Zelensky, for example, are enabling this at the expense of their own people. While visiting the United States, for example, Zelensky enjoyed his stay in Florida. This was several months ago. And he took the time out of his busy presidential schedule to record a video personally thanking BlackRock, thanking JP Morgan, Goldman, and others for their support of Ukraine, for their contribution. And he also added that sending Ukraine heavier weapons represents, quote, a big business opportunity for U.S. corporations. You just can't make that up. Here's the video, judge for yourself, take a look, and then leave me a comment and let me know what you think about it.
It is obvious that American business can become the locomotive that will once again push forward global economic growth. We have already managed to attract attention and have cooperation with such giants of the international financial and investment world as BlackRock, JP Morgan, and Goldman Sachs. Such American brands as Starlink or Westinghouse have already become part of our Ukrainian way. Your brilliant defense systems, such as HIMARS or Bradleys, are already uniting our history of freedom with your enterprises. We are waiting for Patriots. We are looking closely at Abrams. Thousands of such examples are possible. And everyone can become a big business by working with Ukraine in all sectors, from weapons and defense to construction, from communication to agriculture, from transport to IT, from banks to medicine. And I believe that freedom must always win.
But that's not all. Expect more. The CEO of Rheinmetall is extremely hopeful, indicating that his company profits will continue to rise. According to Financial Times, Chief Executive Armin Papperger, and I'm not quite sure how to pronounce his last name, but he said profitability had increased, quote, significantly due to the boost in sales, which he expected would continue to rise annually by roughly 2 billion euros in the coming years. He's also known as a loud proponent for military support for Kyiv. Of course, why wouldn't he be? He's also quite notorious for his announcement of plans to build a string of factories in Ukraine focused on tank maintenance, munitions, and air defense. Of course, I'm assuming that those plans are not going to come true given the situation with energy. Given where Ukraine stands with energy production capacity, those plans were nothing but a shameless attempt to potentially support Ukraine's status as a rump state used to produce yet more billions for Rheinmetall's shareholders. The CEO of Rheinmetall is certainly enjoying nice pay as well. According to some sources, in 2024, his total compensation includes a salary of 1.3 million euros. While Rheinmetall's total shareholder return surged over the past 3 years, and it surged 555%. War has become such a profitable and sought-after business that the German government is now planning to take a stake in arms manufacturers and so-called defense, we should really read offense, projects. A couple of months ago in June, Reuters actually published a report on a private equity firm, Carlyle, being in the process of purchasing ThyssenKrupp's warship division. This new proposal would actually allow Germany to purchase stakes in companies and in military projects that are perceived to be strategically important. The German government already holds some stakes, but now it's looking to extend their direct financial involvement in the war machine. This development is indeed part of a broader push to militarize, of course, and it should be viewed in the context of Germany agreeing to station U.S. cruise missiles on its soil beginning in less than 2 years from now, beginning in 2026. As the goal of the war is not to win, of course, but rather to keep waging it, Western weapons producers are even planning to expand their factory operations and open new locations to produce more weapons. For example, Rheinmetall is already opening a new factory in Germany to produce around 100,000 extra artillery shells per year. This is only a small fraction of the company's goal to produce 7 times that amount once its expansion ambitions are fully executed. United States Marine Corps Major General Smedley Butler once said, "War is a racket. It's always been. A racket is best described as something that is not what it seems to the majority of the people. It is conducted for the benefit of the very few at the expense of the very many. Out of war, a few people make huge fortunes." War is a Racket is a speech and a 1935 short book by Smedley Butler. During his career, he discussed how business interests commercially benefit from warfare. Yet here we are, nearly 100 years later, and nothing has changed. Will it ever change? Let me know what you think in the comments below. Thanks for watching. I'm so glad you're here. Please show your support. Give this video a thumbs up. Consider sharing it and subscribe both on Rumble and on YouTube. I would love to have you back for my next one. Lately, many of you have been saying in the comments that YouTube keeps unsubscribing you from my channel. So please go ahead and consider following me on Rumble, on Telegram, and on X, as well as on Substack to stay connected just in case. I'll see you, Emmanuel, soon. Take care.